Michael, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Thanks very much for joining us on the program this morning. Now, this scheme that we're discussing here, the Serious Criminal Matters Scheme, would you mind unpacking this one for us just a little bit more, what this one actually involves, what this scheme actually involves?
The scheme involves providing a assistance, a legal or financial assistance to people who have been accused of criminal offences in other countries than Australia. So when you're referring to this gentleman by the name of Peter Scully, and you have sort of unveiled the number of accusations. Interestingly, the charges of murder hasn't been actually yet pressed, but I understand that there is an accusation that he actually killed a 12-year-old girl and buried her under the house. So, I mean, yes, for your audience, for your listeners, a pretty horrific accusation. But the scheme is there. Scheme is run by bureaucrats. At the federal government department, and the principle behind it really is that we are all assumed innocent until proven guilty. And that applies to Peter Scully. Now, he lives in Philippines. He's been charged, he's been accused and charged with offences. And I think that as an Australian citizen, and we actually have an obligation to provide some form of assistance whilst he's facing these charges.
I certainly agree with the principle there that everyone is innocent until proven guilty. I think it is obviously the bedrock of a functioning legal system. But obviously, people, you can see why in a case like Peter Scully's, people are going to take offence. And then when we talk about costs amounting to $500,000 to the Australian taxpayer, it kind of brings into question this particular scheme. Are there restrictions on the scheme itself that it would seem that that need closing? I mean, if we're spending this much money on these kind of allegations, are there essentially restrictions that need to be put there?
There are a couple of issues that you actually raised. I think that we have to sort of, look at the allegations and the way that they actually are. I know that they sound horrific, a sexual assault of an 18-month-old baby. That sounds very horrific. And I think that most people, certainly most of your listeners, would sort of say, well, that's very horrific. If I would say this thing to my wife, she would sort of say, oh, no, you should get a death penalty. I'm going to sort of say, hang on. I mean, it could be me there, right? I could be accused of those things. They might argue that they have actually pretty strong evidence. But that evidence, the proof in our system, certainly in our inherited English system, is that the proof is on the party accusing. And so far, Peter Scully hasn't been found guilty. That's one thing. The second one is that, when people sort of consider that $500,000 has already been spent in assisting him, should there be a limit for argument's sake, or should there be some different criteria? Well, when I consider that, I also consider people who are being charged with serious offences in Australia, and we have different states have their legal aid systems. We have a legal aid commission. Federally, so if people are charged with federal offences, there's a legal aid provided for them if they are, if they cannot afford it and what have you. This scheme is very similar to what we have in Australia, a legal aid, a legal assistance. Now, there are certain limitations in our scheme, state or federal. The decision is also made by bureaucrats. Whenever the legal aid is going to be extended and how much they make they make assessment of how much the trial would probably cost or, you know, pre-trial hearings and what have you. And then they make a decision. Have a look at the person's circumstances, and then what have you. The person is impecunious, doesn't own a house, and then what have you. Well, so what do you do? The person has the right to be represented. So, and I think that this thing would apply Peter Scully under these circumstances. If he can't afford it, if he's impecunious, he found himself in a country that has different laws and different legal principles than him, what have you. So I think it is only right to extend the legal assistance to him or anybody else being charged with offences. I mean, and irrespective how horrific they sound. I think it's the principle behind it. Now, whenever the scheme should be perhaps reviewed, I gave some consideration to it, and I think that my view is that the scheme ought to be reviewed. And I would establish the commission or committee, perhaps headed by a senior judge or retired senior judge, you know, someone like, former Mr. Justice Michael Kirby, just an example, mm-hmm. right? And a number of lawyers and human rights experts, and they should actually assist the government in relation to how much the scheme should contain, whenever there is an unlimited amount of money available, or whenever there should be because look, even illegal aid in each state actually gets a budget, and they have to actually operate within the budget. And I think the same thing should apply to the scheme, right? And the decisions should be made in relation to the person's circumstances, in relation to the charges, in relation to what are the are there some reasonable prospects of conviction, considering some of the evidence and what have you. And I think that the only people who could actually make the decision what the government ought to provide would be a committee, as I said, headed by a senior judge or retired senior judge and a number of lawyers and human rights experts.
I think going forward, you're quite right. I mean, the comparison that is obviously drawn between these two situations is what this scheme means overseas, and what this what the equivalent would be here at home, which is indeed the legal aid system, and whether there is some sort of some sort of difficulty in comparing the two at the moment, whether there has been some sort of difficulty in putting this particular scheme together without that same sort of thought process that's gone into legal aid here in Australia.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I think that, we have to, like in any case, in Australia, we have to sort of kind of separate ourselves from the emotional issues related, to the charges that the person is actually facing. We need to do that. I mean, it is the system then, and the court and the judges and the jury that will decide on the guilt or innocence. Unfortunately, in the Philippines, they don't have juries because they operate under the inquisitorial system of justice, whereas here in Australia and in England and in the United States, we operate under the adversarial system of justice.
Well, Michael, as you say, I mean, bringing the emotions into it, it obviously makes cases like this one, schemes like this one, a difficult one to talk about. Really do appreciate you joining us and giving us some insight into it this morning.
It's a pleasure, Sean.